Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Rule by Secrecy by Jim Mars is a nonfiction book in the conspiracy history and alternative history genre. It argues that major political, financial, and cultural events cannot be understood fully without examining hidden elite networks and secret societies. Mars connects modern organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderberg Group with older brotherhoods, including the Freemasons, the Illuminati, and the Knights Templar, while also reaching back to ancient Egypt and the Great Pyramids. The book is not a conventional academic history. Instead, it is an investigative synthesis that challenges official explanations and invites readers to question who benefits from secrecy. Its purpose is to trace recurring patterns of influence, suggest continuity between ancient mystery traditions and modern power structures, and encourage skepticism toward public narratives about war, government, media, and finance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book frames history as a contest between public institutions and hidden networks of influence. A central idea in Rule by Secrecy is that visible institutions do not fully explain how power works. Mars argues that elite groups operate through informal networks that shape policy, public opinion, and economic outcomes while remaining outside normal democratic accountability. He repeatedly links organizations such as the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderberg Conferences to a broader pattern of coordinated influence. This matters because the book is less interested in isolated conspiracy claims than in a recurring structure, a small circle of wealthy or well-connected actors. Working through private forums can influence what governments do and what the public is allowed to know. The argument is designed to make readers look beyond formal titles and official memberships to examine access, secrecy, and institutional overlap. Even when readers reject Mars' conclusions, the book's core analytical move is clear: it treats secrecy itself as a political force and asks whether modern democracy can function properly when key decisions are made in opaque spaces. Secondly, ancient mystery traditions are used to suggest continuity between old priestly power and modern elites. Mars does not begin with 20th century policy groups alone. He pushes the story back to ancient civilizations, especially Egypt and the symbolism of the Great Pyramids, to argue that secret knowledge has long been tied to power. In his framework, mystery religions, priesthoods, and esoteric brotherhoods established a tradition in which knowledge was controlled by initiates rather than shared openly. He then connects that tradition to later organizations such as Freemasonry, the Illuminati, and the Knights Templar. The point is not simply historical curiosity. It is to claim that modern elite structures are part of a very old pattern in which hidden doctrine, ritual, and membership create durable systems of authority. This approach helps the book build a sweeping genealogy of secrecy, but it also makes the argument highly speculative at times because the historical leaps are broad and the evidence is presented interpretively. Still, as a thematic device, the ancient material gives the book its distinctive scope and frames modern politics as the latest expression of a much older struggle over access to knowledge. Thirdly, wars. Finance and media are presented as tools used to maintain centralized control. Another major theme is the claim that conflict and economic instability are not accidental byproducts of history, but instruments used by powerful actors. Mars suggests that wars can serve financial and geopolitical interests, while banking elites, corporations, and policy networks benefit from the disruption they create. He also argues that media systems can be used to shape public perception, normalize elite agendas, and suppress inconvenient information. This makes the book more than a catalog of secret societies. It becomes a theory of how power reproduces itself through institutions that appear separate but may work in parallel. The emphasis on finance is especially important because it links political secrecy to material incentives. If war, debt, and market influence can enrich or empower the same circles, then secrecy becomes a mechanism for protecting those advantages. The book's logic is therefore, systemic control is maintained not only through covert meetings, but through the coordination of money, messaging, and policy. That synthesis is one reason the book appeals to readers who see modern governance as shaped by interlocking private interests rather than transparent public deliberation. Fourthly, the narrative relies on synthesis and pattern recognition rather than conventional academic proof. Rule by Secrecy is written as a large-scale interpretive argument, not a narrowly documented scholarly study. Mars assembles references from history, politics, religion, finance, and fringe research to build a connected framework of hidden influence. This gives the book its momentum, but it also explains why many critics view it as overextended. Instead of proving one limited thesis in depth, Mars often presents patterns, associations, and recurring symbols as evidence that a larger structure is operating behind events. That method can be persuasive to readers who are already suspicious of official accounts, because it offers a unified explanation for disparate phenomena. It can also feel selective, because the book tends to privilege material that fits the conspiracy framework, while giving less weight to ordinary historical causation. Understanding this method is essential to understanding the book itself. Its strength is breadth and provocation. Its weakness is that breadth can blur the line between documented history and speculative inference. As a result, the book works best as an invitation to investigate assumptions, not as a definitive historical authority. Lastly, its enduring appeal comes from making secrecy itself the key to interpreting modern power. The book continues to attract readers because it offers a comprehensive worldview rather than a single isolated claim. Mars tells readers that many events which seem random or accidental may be linked by hidden coordination among elite groups with long historical roots. That appeal is intellectual as much as political. The book gives a framework for interpreting confusion by turning secrecy into the central explanatory category. For readers who distrust institutions, this can be highly satisfying because it supplies a sense of pattern where mainstream accounts may seem fragmented or incomplete. At the same time, the book is useful as a cultural artifact of the conspiracy history genre, showing how alternative histories combine journalism, suspicion, esotericism, and political critique. Its lasting difference from many similar books is the scale of its ambition. Rather than focusing only on one event or one organization, it tries to connect ancient monuments, secret brotherhoods, modern policy groups, and global power. That wide scope is exactly what makes it distinctive, even when readers disagree with its conclusions. In conclusion, Rule by Secrecy is best suited to readers interested in conspiracy literature, alternative history, secret societies, and critiques of elite power. It will appeal especially to those who want a broad, provocative synthesis, rather than a narrowly academic argument. The practical value of the book lies in its ability to sharpen skepticism. It encourages readers to examine institutions, question official narratives, and notice how secrecy and access can shape political and economic outcomes. Its intellectual value is similar, because it forces engagement with a recurring question in modern life: how much of power is visible, and how much is hidden behind private networks. What makes the book stand out in its category is its scale. Mars does not confine himself to one conspiracy or one era. Instead, he builds a sweeping historical chain that runs from ancient Egypt to contemporary policy organizations. That ambition gives the book a distinctive identity among popular conspiracy titles. Readers looking for balanced scholarship will find it contentious, but readers looking for a strong, unified, and highly skeptical worldview will find it memorable and influential within the genre. If you would like to support Jim Mars, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.